today on Living on Every Word.
We know a lot about Good Friday, and we know a lot about Resurrection Sunday. But do we really know a lot about Saturday? Because Saturday is when you gotta wait. Saturday is when you've got to be there in the middle of stuff. I know my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. And in the end, he's going to make his stand.
Are you going through an ordeal right now where you're wondering, where is God? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares how God functions as our Redeemer in this Resurrection Sunday message, I Know My Redeemer Lives.
Just overwhelmed with gratitude and joy for all that Christ has done for us. When I think about this holy and precious blood that pumped through this man's veins, the only holy person to ever walk this earth. He was beaten up, the cat of nine tails, and just tearing his beard out of his face, and it was gruesome. And when I think about this man who had the power to just with the word say, I am, and knock everybody down, get out of his way, and he didn't. And he took on all the sin of the world on his shoulders. I know when I'm dealing with my own sin, how the weight feels on my shoulders. I cannot imagine the pressure that he withheld for all of us. And I think about this holy blood spilt out on the dirt, turning it to mud. I can hardly fathom it. At the same time, what do we do with our gardens when we want them to grow? We water it with water. He watered us with his precious, holy, untainted blood so that we could grow up knowing who he is, grow in his love, have a relationship with him. When I think about how much he did for me, I'm overwhelmed. What grace he has. What amazing grace he has. And just think about what he paid for our sins. How can our hearts not be grateful? He didn't pay it for some. He paid it all for all.
Scripture says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Happy Resurrection Day today. Amen. We are so glad that you're here today. You may be here from out of town. This may be your first time here. We hope that this would feel like home today. And matter of fact, it'd feel like home every time you come in, right? Welcome to Cottonwood today. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come in a mighty way this morning. That God, that you would bless us with your presence. That you would bless us with resurrection power today. That Father God, that the grave could not hold you. And therefore, those of us in Christ, the grave cannot and will not hold us. And we praise you and bless you and celebrate that this very day. Come, Lord, visit us. Visit us in our fellowship, in our worship, through the word. God, just whatever is happening today, speak to us, meet us. We're listening. We thank you and praise you. And we can say when we leave this place, I know my Redeemer lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, so I want to ask a question that I've asked over the last couple of weeks. What is this all about? What is this all about? And I want to say this, what I believe with all my heart, this is about the redemption story of Christ still being lived out by the church of the living God. Redemption. Redemption. On this resurrection Sunday, that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead and conquered death and conquered life itself, he redeemed us by that blood that was spilt on Friday and by the power of the resurrection on a Sunday, so that even a few weeks later, Pentecost would come and the Holy Spirit would come, the Spirit of Jesus would come and ignite the church to be a part of the redemptive story of our God. And 2,000 years later, it's still being accomplished. Yes, in the hard, dark places of this world. Need a message. Need a message. I was reading this week out of Job chapter 19. You know Job. Job's in the pit. Job's sitting on ash heaps. Job is needing a word from God. Job has been stripped from everything. Job has lost 10 children. He's lost his wealth. He's lost everything that he's worked for. He's lost his health. And everybody's scattered except three friends who have come to Job to speak to him. And you don't know what they say to him. Job, well, all this calamity that's happening to you, you've got to be doing something wrong. You're in sin. So fess up, boy. Fess up, friend. And Job walks through this whole book talking about not understanding what's going on in his life. And even God says it. Even God says it in the first chapter. This man is righteous. This man is blameless. This man is the greatest of all the East. God's already declared that he's a righteous man. And these friends are coming along and saying, you're lost. You've got some secret sin that you need to confess. He's on the ash heap. The Bible says that he's taken broken pottery pieces, and because the skin, whatever's happening to his skin, is just so hard that he's scraping his skin of these sores with this potsherd. He's a mess. He looks a mess. And you know what he says? He says something so significant. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that with an iron stylus and lead, they were engraved in the rock forever. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at last, he will take his stand on the earth. Yeah, I'm on this ash heap of trial and tribulation and struggle, but there's one thing that I know. I'm here, but I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. And do you know what else he'll go on to say? He'll go on and say, even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. Now notice something. What he says about this, he says, he's my Redeemer. This is something personal. This is something one-on-one. This is a relationship. Do you know why he was righteous? Do you know why he was righteous? Not just because he did good things. No, he was righteous because God declared him righteous. He was a man of faith, because you can't be righteous apart from faith. You can't. And you look at it through scripture that when Abraham became righteous, it was because Abraham believed the promises of God. And if you look at Job and you look at the context of righteousness throughout scripture, old and new, Job was righteous because he was a believer in God. How else can he be after losing 10 children? After losing all of his wealth and all of his health, and yet he would say, I know that my Redeemer lives. As for me, you can say all these things about my trial, all these things about my difficulty, all these things that I've been going through, but there's one thing that I know, that my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to stand with him. He is going to stand in the end, and I'm going to stand with him. And even after my skin is destroyed, even after I'm gone, I know that I will behold my great God. Faith. Faith. Now, what does it mean when he said, my Redeemer lives? Who is a redeemer? What does it mean to redeem? This word in the Old Testament is actually kinsman redeemer or kinsman. Have you ever heard the thought, or the statement, we got to get a hold of the next of kin? Okay. the one that's going to be responsible for this person's death or this person's life or this person's trouble or whatever that means, the next of kin. And you know, Job says, hey, I've got a kinsman and he's next of kin and he redeems. The word redeem can mean, it means a lot of things like a lot of Old Testament words do. There's a multifaceted thought to this, but a redeemer is a vindicator, a defender. When he redeems, if he's a redeemer, that's what he does. He redeems. And so what does that mean? He buys back something that was lost. And if that person was sold into slavery or if his land was sold into slavery, that kinsman was responsible to come and buy it back, to purchase it back, to ransom it. And if he was in bondage, he was to ransom it. He became the deliverer. And Job understood this. Job understood that he was waiting for the deliverer. He was waiting for God. He was waiting to be redeemed out of all of his troubles. Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives. And you may be here this Easter morning and there may be a struggle that you're dealing with or a heartache or a heartbreak or a season that's not been good. And you know what? I want to challenge you to do and just ask you to do. Just say it. Just say it. I know that my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer, the one who bought me, the one who paid the price with his blood, the one that when I was in my sin and in my junk and in my strongholds, that God came along and said, wait, I'm your Redeemer. I paid for that. I paid for that sin. I paid for that junk. I paid for that stronghold. I paid for those things for you. It's already been done at the cross. And when I rose from the dead, it was for you. And that's what happened when we received Christ. We believed in the power of the cross and the power of the blood, but we also believed in the power of the resurrection, the power of redemption. It's redemption story. We've been redeemed. And when you go through Scripture and you go from Old Testament to all the way to the end, to Revelation, you see the Redeemer, our great God and Savior, is alive. What does a Savior do? He saves. What does a Redeemer do? He redeems. And that's who you have if you have Jesus in your life today. You have the Redeemer who redeems you. Just ask anybody in Scripture. David knew that God redeemed. Psalm 103:4 says that one of the benefits of knowing God is that he redeems your life from the pit. He redeems, he purchases you from the pit. And it's the Old Testament illustration of David in Psalm 40. So go on and turn there for just a moment. Psalm chapter 40. If you're familiar to Scripture, this is a familiar verse. If you're familiar to Cottonwood, this is one we read from occasionally through the year. But chapter 40, verse 1. Remember David. He redeems your life from the pit. What pit? I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me and he heard my cry. And he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and he made my footsteps firm and he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Because of this great testimony that God has placed in his life, here was a man that was in the pit. He was in the miry clay. He was stuck. He was hurting. He was struggling. Maybe this passage comes from the time of failure in his life when he took Bathsheba and killed her husband and tried to deceive the world to cover his sin. But he's in a pit and it's destroying him. But you know what he says about that? I'm waiting patiently. I waited patiently for my God. You know, I was thinking about this morning. We know a lot about Good Friday, and we know a lot about Resurrection Sunday, but do we really know a lot about Saturday? Because Saturday is when you got to wait. Saturday is when you've got to be there in the middle of stuff, that you know God's spoken to you, and you'll know that God's moved, but it just hadn't happened yet. And you're waiting. And this waiting that he's doing, I just want to say, that's Saturday. He knows God's his Redeemer. He knows that God's doing a work and this God is going to do the work. He's waiting patiently for God to show up and to do and to resurrect him out of this pit. I believe that's what Job is saying. Job knows about Friday. He knows about Sunday. He's got to walk through Saturday. How many of you have walked through a month of Saturdays before? Yeah. We've walked through. Some of you are walking through a month of Saturdays right now. But I know my Redeemer lives. And in the end, he's going to make his stand. And I'm going to behold my God. You know why I know that? Because, and you know why you know that? Because you've got it in you if you're in Christ. It's already there in you. You don't need me to teach you that. You know that that's true. You know that Jesus died for you. You know that he redeemed you. He redeemed you from death, and he redeemed you from the pit, and he redeemed you all from your sin and the destiny that you are heading toward a hell forever. You know this God. You know this Savior. And this God who did the most miraculous thing when he caused you to be born again and put his Spirit within you. If he can do that, then he can deal with the stuff that you're going through today, even though you think it's Saturday. He inclined my ear to me, and he delivered me. He redeemed me from this pit. You may have a relationship. It may be your marriage. It may be your child. It may be an adult child that is struggling. We wait patiently for God, knowing about Friday and understanding about Sunday. We wait patiently because, and we cry out, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this God, this great God, hears us. He's Redeemer. And that's what Redeemers do. They redeem. And not only that, but he's our closest of kin. He's our kinsman Redeemer. He's our closest relative. Bible calls him the firstborn among many brothers. That's my big brother there. He's my kinsman who purchased his blood for me 2,000 years ago, and affected me when I came to salvation and I came to life, and he's not finished doing that great work in my life. Yeah, he's redeemed us. And redemption is always leading to resurrection. It's always leading to new life, from old to new. That's what redemption is about. Can you imagine being a slave? We sometimes eat in a restaurant in the quarter that was an old slave block place. It's called Maspero's, but it's got a history, that building, where slaves came through there out of the port and were sold all over the country or all over the South, coming from Africa. I don't know, maybe they came from the island of Zanzibar. They end up in places like New Orleans, and they're sold back then for $20,000 and $30,000. And their life is hard. God comes along and he buys you off the block with his blood. And you know what the Redeemer says? You are mine now. But I set you free in the fact that you are mine. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for me. This is what redemption's all about. And I may be in a pit right now, and I may be in a struggle right now, and it may just be Saturday, but I know because of the resurrection power of God, and Sunday's already come for me, already in so many ways, that Sunday's coming again. That Sunday's coming again. And I can wait patiently. David said he redeems your life from the pit. Do you know what else he said? He said this in Psalm 72:14. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and their blood will be precious in his sight. Turn to Luke chapter 8, if you would. Luke chapter 8. And I want to show you another picture of redemption, another picture of resurrection power. Luke chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 26. Then they sailed, that's Jesus and his disciples, to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. And when he came out onto the land, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house but in tombs. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles, kept under guard, and yet he'd break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they, the demons, were imploring imploring them, him not to command them to go away into the abyss. Now, I would tell you, is this man in the pit? This man's in the pit. Is he on the ash heap? He's on the ash heap. This man is in trouble. You have some of the few places in scriptures that says that this man is so much in trouble that he's possessed by the demons, the legion. What does he need? He needs to be redeemed. He needs to be bought back, ransomed, delivered, taken care of. He needs a kinsman redeemer. And guess what? The kinsman redeemer has just got out of the boat. Just got out of the boat. And I can't help but think that these demons are understanding what's about to happen. These spirits are about to know what's about to happen. And they don't want that to happen. And listen, the enemy doesn't want you to be resurrected on a Sunday. He doesn't want your situation to change from this death to life, to this bad to this good. He doesn't want that. He fights it. He fights it with you. It's what temptation's all about. That's what struggle's all about. It's the enemy wanting to move you to places that are deeper than you are, not to pull you out with resurrection power. But resurrection power is about to take place in this man's life. Verse 32, there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored him to permit them to enter into the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Now when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out of the country. Out in the country, and the people, verse 35, went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus. Watch this. Sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country, of the Gerasenes and the surrounding districts, asked him to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear. And he got in the boat and returned. And the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Great things. Do we get this today? This situation is horrible. But my Redeemer lives. And my Redeemer is about taking us out of horrible places. And not only taking us out of horrible places, but using us for the glory of God to get other people out of horrible places. Tomorrow, you're going to have there's a group of us that are going to go back into Erath County and back into Comanche County and back into our jobs. And there are people in horrible, horrible places who need to know that they have a Redeemer. And our Redeemer lives. Our Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Ready to ransom, ready to take us out, ready to move in us, ready to use us for the glory of God. You know, we've talked the last couple of weeks about you being a new creation and a reconciler and an ambassador for Christ. This is what this is all about. And you know what this is really great about all this is that when you look at David coming out of the pit, and when you look at the demons coming out of this man, and this man goes from death to life, from the tombs to life, sitting at the feet of Jesus, naked and ashamed, of fully clothed with the righteousness robes of Christ. This David, this man named David, this demoniac, their life points to redemption. And it points to the redemptive work of Christ. Just ask them when you get there one day. It's pointing to who God is and what God will be one day through Jesus Christ. Turn to Luke chapter 24. And we will close with this morning. Luke chapter 24. What is this all about? This is what it's all about. The power of God's blood, of Christ's blood, the power of the resurrection in our life. To live a life before Him and before the world that is light, that points now to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. David's life in Old Testament, even the demoniac in the Gospels, their lives are pointing to something that's going to happen. It's going to point to the resurrection of Christ. And here you have it, chapter 24, verse 1 through 11. Jesus has died. They've gone through the cross. They've gone through Saturday. And now it's Sunday. On the first day of the week, At early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" It's a good question. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? Do you know that we do that? Because that's really what we're looking for in this life. We're looking for the living one, and you don't find him in your career, and you don't find him in your anger, and you don't find him in your lust, and you don't find him in your failure. You don't find him in these places that you run to, that I run to. Why are you seeking? Why are you looking for the living one among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they went, "Oh, yeah, we remember his words." And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings, and he went away to his home, marveling what had happened. "My Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives." Do you believe that today? My Redeemer lives. He's alive today. He's living in your heart. He's no longer in the tomb. He's in your life. Church, listen to me. If you believe this, you will walk in agreement with it. And if you walk in agreement with it, I want to tell you, you will see amazing things. You will marvel just like Peter marveled. "I know my Redeemer lives." Pray with me. Will you do that? Father, I want to thank you that this is what that's all about. That this is what it's all about today. That God, that you have redeemed us. That you have set us free. That you have ransomed us. And that you take care of us now. Oh God, how can we live life? How can we live life like Friday and Sunday never happened? How could we live another day, another ounce of our moments committed to something else other than you? And I pray, oh God, that this Sunday, this Easter Sunday, this resurrection day, that by the way, we celebrate every Sunday, not just once a year. We celebrate it every Sunday as the church or Saturday or whenever a church might meet. And we celebrate it in our lives every day. I pray for this kind of power. If someone's in the pit today, they'd be on the rock on the way out of here. That God, if someone is in this place oppressed and there's things happening in their lives, that today they'd be at the feet of Jesus. Because that's what this is all about. And that God, that you'd use us. That you'd use us to declare, proclaim, and minister the redemptive resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And I ask this in the strong name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen and amen. Happy Resurrection Day. This is his day, your day. And we praise God for it. All right. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. May he lift up his countenance to you and give you peace forever and ever. Amen. Go tell somebody, my Redeemer lives. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living.